for that. Well, if you'd like to keep that Romans 6 passage open, let's have a look at it carefully. And you'll notice right at the very end, in the last verse, in verse 23, says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, as a church, we are about life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there it is again. We saw it at the end of chapter 5, and it's here again at the end of chapter 6. But sometimes people wonder what kind of life it is. As people look in at Christianity and Christians, sometimes they imagine or they think that the Christian life is all about rules and regulations. It's about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. It's all about morality and that kind of thing. That's one view. Another view that people sometimes hold is that they look at the message of Christianity and say, well, surely Christianity is all about just living as you want to live, doing as you please, being free from all restraint. After all, you've got your pass through to heaven, haven't you? Now, in Romans so far, we've seen that Jew and Gentile alike are under sin. Paul is writing to a mixed congregation. Some of them are Gentiles, some of them are Jewish. And he's made the point that neither is accepted from sin. That each, both the Jew and the Gentiles, are captured under sin. But he says in chapter 3 that Christ by his cross puts a person right with God. He justifies them. And also in that same cross, he turns aside God's just anger that we deserved onto himself. And he pays its price. And so through the cross, we can have a new relationship with God. We can be, as we saw last week in chapter 5, we are at peace with God. We're reconciled to God. There's nothing more that needs to be done. Christ on his cross has done it all for us. And so the Christian life is not rules and regulations you've got to keep if you're going to get to heaven. No, that's a complete misunderstanding. It's Christ who brings us to heaven. And the benefits of what Christ did come to us, the Bible says, and we saw this in chapter 4, by faith. And by faith alone. That is by trusting God's word, trusting God, trusting the cross. And so as we trust in the cross of Jesus, we've entered into a new era, the era of grace, and we're enfolded in the arms of God's grace. But, and it flows naturally out of chapter 5, if we stand in God's grace, why can't we then just sin as much as we please? Now, I think these days we hear these ideas in two particular ways. Some people say, look, if it's only by the free grace of God through faith, and there's no requirement on a Christian to keep any rules or regulations, surely that is just the ticket to do whatever we like, as I said a little bit earlier. And so why shouldn't I sin if that is what the Christian message is all about? And some people make the accusation against the Christian message and saying that that's what it invites. It invites people just to sin at their pleasure. The second way in which it comes to us is really the way it comes to us as insiders, as Christian people ourselves. And it's much more subtle as it comes because we are quite devious in our minds. Like all humanity, we have the same problem of sin at work in us. And so we tend to rationalise away sin. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we do. And we quietly sometimes say to ourselves, look, if it's by free grace through faith, then I can relax a bit about sin. I know in the end everything's going to be forgiven, so I won't get too worried about sin. It's okay, because Christ died for it, and she'll be right. And so I want to ask, if we stand in God's grace, why not continue in sin? Now, that is the question that Romans 6 takes up, that Paul takes up in this chapter. And he tackles it in chapter 6 in two ways. He says, firstly, we should not sin because we died to sin so that we might live to God. We have died to sin so that we might live to God. Look at verse 1. He raises this question which comes to his readers' minds. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? In other words, you're doing grace a favour by sinning because you're showing grace to be more and more wonderful. Look at his answer. By no means. It's an expression that will come up several times in these chapters. By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Now, what's he saying here? He's saying that when we put our trust in Christ and in his cross, we have, as it were, been united with Christ in such a way that his death was our death. The person we once were, a person who was given over to sin, was crucified with Christ as we united ourselves by trusting in Jesus. And so, through the cross, our slavery to sin was broken. Our sin is still present in a Christian's life, but our slavery to it has been broken, and our life has now turned a corner, a very important corner. And as we are united with Christ in his death, he says, we believe, we know, that we shall be raised with him to life. And he makes the point in these verses 1 to 14, that Christ died to sin, and now, in his resurrection life, he lives to God. And he says, we as his people must now consider ourselves dead to that old life of sin and alive now to God, to serve him. You see that in verse 11. And so his point is, don't let sin reign in your life. Don't go on in sin if all of that is true. Look with me at verse 12. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't offer the parts of your body, and not just the parts of your body, but I take it he means your whole self, including your mind. Don't offer yourself to sin for evil. Don't offer the parts of your body in the service of greed. Don't offer your body or your mind to impurity. Don't offer the parts of your body, your tongue, to wrong talk and bad language. Don't offer your mind or your body to anger or to lies. Now, we could keep going, adding things. You get the idea. No, we are now to offer ourselves to God for righteousness. Kids are having a great time out there, aren't they? And so, for example, in that Colossians reading we read, did you hear what Paul said? He said, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. That's really just the beginning. He's got a lot more to say after that, as we saw when we read it. But we are now to offer ourselves to God in these new ways. Why? Look back in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law. The law simply stirred up our sin. We are not under law, but we are under grace, and so change is now possible. Now, just to give you an illustration of this, husbands know what all this is about. Wives do too. But husbands, let me take the husbands. Each day in marriage, a husband needs to make decisions. He needs to make the decision, will I serve myself or will I look after my wife and serve her? Will it be myself or my wife? Now that's kind of what it's like for the Christian. Every day as a Christian, we have to make the decision every moment, will I serve myself and sin? Or will I offer myself to God? So that is the first thing Paul says in chapter 6. We died to sin so that we might now live to God. The second reason why we should not sin is in verses 15 to 23. He says, you are slaves of the one you obey. Look at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. That's more like the kind of comment we get these days. Oh, you don't have rules and regulations. Well, that means you can sin, doesn't it? Paul says again, by no means. Verse 16, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now, friends, we all dream of freedom these days. We love the idea of freedom. And if you were to ask the average punter what freedom is, the average punter generally says something along the lines of being able to do what I want, when I want it, how I want to be free from all constrictions. And that's, of course, why we go out and buy lotto tickets and so on, so that I can buy my way into freedom. The idea that we could be slaves of anyone is just a horrible idea to our minds. It's abhorrent to us. We can't imagine it, being a slave. And yet stop and think about it for a moment. Our dream of freedom, this doing what I want, when I want, how I want it, is just an expression of the terrible slavery we are in outside of Christ. We are caught in a slavery to self and to self-indulgence. We are caught in a slavery to greed. We are caught in a slavery to lawlessness, being free from all constraint. You see, the truth is we are always slaves. We either give ourselves in slavery to sin, that rebellious spirit that throws off all constraint and throws off God, or we are slaves to obeying God. You see, to refuse God is to remain in a slavery to sin. Now, you might say, I'm no slave to sin. I'm not in slavery. I can stop whenever I want. Well, okay, do it then. Stop sinning and turn your life over to God right now. You say, I don't want to do that. And I say to you, that's the point. You're caught in your slavery. You don't want to do it. You're not going to do it. You're a slave to sin. Well, we're always slaves. Our slavery to sin leads to death, says Paul. But if we will give ourselves as slaves to God, that will lead to righteousness and life. In other words, a life turned around for the good and eternal life. And the great joy is that when we give ourselves to God to be his slaves, we discover perfect freedom. Perfect freedom. You see, it's like when a husband gives his life to serve his wife, for in her service he finds and discovers what he is meant to be and his purpose in life. Or when a mother gives herself to the care of her children, it is fulfilling and joyful. It's got problems and pains as well. All human relationships do, but it is fulfilling and delightful. And as we give ourselves to God, we discover what we were made to be, and it liberates us. And so, says Paul, as we once presented ourselves to sin, which was only leading us to death, so he says, now present yourself to righteousness, to God, which will lead to holiness of life and eternal life. Let me give you an illustration of this, all this from the world of drugs. There are only two choices when it comes to heroin. You are either a slave to heroin addiction, or you are a slave to a heroin-free life. There are no other options. You can't have a bit of heroin and a bit of abstinence. It's either one or the other. You've got to choose. Is it going to be heroin or the heroin-free life? Which slavery are you going to give yourself to? If you choose to make yourself a slave of heroin, you will die. And chances are you will die young. If you give yourself to slavery, to a heroin-free life in which you will never allow yourself to touch it, you will live. Now, sin is like heroin. It's like any drug. It's lovely when you take it. When you get a shot of sin, it captures our passions, it captures our desires. It's lovely because we feel free. We used to be slaves to that. We used to be slaves to sin. We were free from righteousness It didn't matter to us anymore. But friends, it was killing us. We were dying. He says, don't go back to that life. Now make yourself a slave to God, to live as you were designed to live, in holiness for eternal life. For he says in verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in conclusion, what is this life we have through Jesus Christ our Lord? Is it a life of rules and regulations? No. We're free from the law. We've been freed by Christ. We're now living in grace. Is it a life where we do what we please? No. We've died to sin. That's our past life. How can we keep living in it any longer? We now need to live to God for his purposes. We were slaves of sin, but now our slavery has been broken, and so we now need to present ourselves to God as his servants for holiness and life. Make that your aim. Is slavery to God a matter of fear and drudgery? And lifelessness? No. You will find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And his slavery is joyful freedom. We stand in grace, forgiven and accepted. We're no longer under the burden of the law. And we don't serve a tyrant who is going to destroy us, but a loving Father who has given everything for us. And as a little child, particularly a little, they tend to change as they grow older, but as a little child loves to serve the teacher that she admires, and a wife loves to serve the husband that she loves. And so we gladly serve the Lord who loves us and gave himself for us. And as we do, we discover what we were made for and what life was meant to be. We discover life to the full. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the new life you've brought us into, for the way you've broken our former slavery to sin. And Father, as we've died to sin, help us now live to you. As we were once slaves of sin, help us now to be slaves of righteousness, living lives pleasing to you. And grant us great joy in your service. We pray it for Jesus' sake.